today we're going to look at Luke 15, 11 to 24, and many of you know this, it's the parable of the lost son, and I'm going to stop partway through and then pull some things out of it for us that we can take and think about. Now, this is, obviously, it's Father's Day, and we're uplifting fathers, but this is for men as well, and it's also that men, you can be, whether you have a child or not, you can be an example, and you can input and be an example for other young children to be what they're supposed to be. And so let's get into this, and then we'll go. So chapter 11 to 24, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the young son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebration. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." It's an amazing story because there's a lot of emotions you can go and work your way through in there. I asked some people, what do you think men, fathers, need to hear from others on Father's Day? They came back with different responses. Fathers, you don't need to feel unworthy. You are not screw-ups. Yes, fathers, we make mistakes, but we are not screw-ups. And if we've messed up, real men ask for forgiveness. We're not screw-ups, and even though we make mistakes, we can ask for forgiveness if we've offended. So you don't need to feel unworthy. Secondly, they need to know that they're loved. That was one of the responses back. Tell fathers, tell men, they need to know that they're loved, and they are worthy of that love. And thirdly, they want more of your time. And there's a fourth one, you don't have to be a father to be a father figure in someone's life. There's people in need all over your lives, in your lives, that need a father figure. And that doesn't mean you're going to take the place of their father. It just means you're going to be that example. And that's okay. And that's a good thing. You know, see, fathers get a bad rap on TV. I don't know if you've seen a lot of these shows, but they get a pretty bad rap for being fathers. And they always seem to come across as clueless and fumbling around. That's not the case. I think it's because for entertainment purposes, it's funny. It's funny to see somebody, you know, to poke fun at someone. That's why they do roasts. That's why they do all these things. But I think what's happened in our society is that when something is seen to be normal on TV, it turns out to be our culture. So we start to think, oh, you know, fathers, they don't know what they're doing, or if they mess up, we go, oh, well, that's typical of a father. Or in other cases, mothers. It depends on what we're watching. But we know that the entertainment world focuses on certain incompetencies or incompetent aspects of the father figure in movies and TVs, and it can devalue our views on that position of fathers. And if you've noticed in our society that certain positions in the family group are being attacked, and then what happens is as they're attacked and as they get worn down and eroded, they become the normal. And remember we talked last week about cultures and how biblical culture is different than our social culture. And just because our social culture is going in a direction in some way doesn't mean that it's right. Just because it's told and said to us that it's right today doesn't mean it is. Because if we look at biblical culture, there's a reason for the plan. There's a reason for the foundation. And whether you feel it or agree with it or like it, it doesn't matter. There is a purpose and a reason for fathers, for mothers. And we can move, we can go beyond that, but for today, there's a reason for those positions, those roles in life. And it doesn't mean one is better than the other. It means they are different. And as a team, they work together to help bring our children and teach them up in the right ways of God. TV and movies tend to devalue biblical positions. So we don't give respect, the proper respect, to that position of father. Scripture is very clear. It values the role of men and fathers in a marriage, in relationships, and in the development of children. And so Scripture gives examples of what a father is like. And so when we read this parable, we have to ask ourselves, what can we get from that as far as a father goes? And so in the lost son parable, at first it can seem frustrating, and that's why I stopped at the beginning, because when you read it, it can seem very frustrating as to how ungrateful the youngest son was by demanding things. But as we look closer and place ourselves in the shoes of the father, we can start to see the love and compassion that pours out from him. And we can begin to see that the father sets the example of how a father should respond to their children and how a man responds to life. A father or father figure responds to those he has influence over by, first of all, responding with compassion. You respond with compassion even when your kids don't listen. It's tough when your children aren't listening to you to respond in a compassionate way when you're angry inside because of what they've done. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son. See, it's the little words in this story that stick out. And he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The father ran to him. He didn't stop and wait and be like, "Oh, you little puke, you took all my money, and then I just, come on, you can come to me, and then you will bow, and then I will place you wherever I want in my servant's positioning, and probably at the lowest point, because you took half, took your inheritance, and blew it." He didn't do that. He ran to him. He didn't wait for the son to come. He ran right to him. And so I find that incredible. You see, the definition of compassion is concern for the sufferings of others, the misfortune of others, concern. Even in bad decisions, there must be compassion. Even in mistakes, even when mistakes are made and lessons are learned, or in some cases not learned, we still must have compassion. We must have a concern for the poor decisions of others and our children. We have to have compassion for them. So when our children make mistakes, or those that we have influence over make mistakes, we need to help them. And they don't need to hear the "I told you so's." How many times have you been in a situation where you'd love to say, "Oh man, I told you this"? No? When you're dealing with your child. When I was a young kid, my mom said, "Don't put your hand on the stove." And I went, "Pfft. What do you know?" Wham, right on the burner. Lesson learned. Painful. Lesson learned. She didn't say, "I told you so." She just cooled the hand, treated it, and I realized then and there, I shouldn't do that. And I didn't do it again. Strange how that is. Strange. Now, in most cases, we already know when we make a mistake, don't we? We make a mistake, we mess up. Do you really need someone to say, "Hey, by the way, I told you that. I told you not to do that"? I've done it. I do it. It happens. I'd be like, "Well, if you hadn't have done that." Or my favorite line from Michelle is, "Why'd you do that?" And she's like, "Because I wanted to hurt myself. That's why I did it." Why do you do that? She loves it when I say that. You can use that. It's my quote. I have a copy written. Every time you say it, I get 25 cents. So why'd you do that? Just felt like falling off the thing. So they don't need here. We already know. And yes, it's hard to not say, I told you so. Yes, it's hard. Men like to fix things. We like to fix things. We like to get in there. But in order for our kids to learn, in order for the people we have influence over to learn, we have to allow them to go through life experiences, even though we foresee that it's not a good path. We can help. We can guide. We can point in the right direction. But at a certain point, we have to let them make their own decisions. And it's very difficult to do that with compassion, with care, when you really want to get in there and fix it. Imagine how the story would go in the lost son parable if the father had turned him away. And I've seen situations, and especially in the church, because we have such strong beliefs in what's right and what's wrong, we will give up relationships with our family, with our kids, because of a religious belief. Not necessarily a belief that maybe God laid out, but a religious belief. I'm talking about the things, secondary issues. Even if your child turns to the dark side, Star Wars reference if you didn't know, even if we still must love them, have compassion for them, we do not push them away. We do not push people away when they go astray. And when they come back, we run to them. We don't wait. People make mistakes, folks. We all make mistakes, but we have to have compassion for where their head's at. Sometimes it's upbringing, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But run to them. Don't isolate. Don't ignore. It does no one any good when you do that. That's a big concern in the church when we push away because of a belief. Have your beliefs. Be strong in your beliefs, but don't push someone away because of it. Bring them in and love them. If Jesus had done that, the woman at the well would have never heard the message he had, the forgiveness message. If he said, well, you're a prostitute, I don't really want to talk to you. Don't push away. Run to. There's a difference. It's a difference in perspective. So I'm here to tell you today, no matter what relationship you have in your family, in loved ones, run to them. Don't preach at them. Don't, I told you so. Just love them. I'm telling you, compassion. Compassion. We're going to get to some of this in a bit. But when I read this scripture and go over it and over it, another thing that sticks out to me is it says this. It says, but while he was a long way off, the son, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to him. These words interest me. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. What do you think he was doing? I can guarantee you what he was doing. He was waiting and watching. Waiting and watching. It would be heart-wrenching going through the story, putting myself in the place of a father, waiting for my child. I would watch the horizon. Every day, I would never sleep. Never sleep if my kid was missing, went away, even ran away. I would be out searching, watching the horizon. So when I look at that, I'm like, he set up camp and he watched and waited. And that's what we do. And he didn't do it because he's like, well, you know, when he comes, I'm going to show it to him. Or he didn't do it because they believed the same. He did it because he had compassion for him. And so this is the compassion I want to show daily. It's tough out there. Man, people make it hard to show compassion. Yes? When you're out there in the real world, it's really hard to show compassion. Sometimes you just want to lose it, but you don't. You control. It's called control. It's called discipline. It's hard. That's why it's called discipline. Discipline. If discipline was easy, we'd all be disciplined. Huh? Right. And so compassion is just a good lesson in all aspects of our life. And so the father in our scripture today had compassion just as God our Father has compassion for us. I can just imagine the stuff that I've done where God's going, oh, man, and waiting for me to come back, waiting for me to even make one hint that I'm going to change. And then he's there, right, watching. And so a father or father figure responds with compassion and responds with, secondly, unconditional love. And it's this, but while he was still a long way off, the father saw him watching and then was filled with compassion. And then he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. That's unconditional love. He didn't go in there and say, what did you do before I hug you and kiss you? Because I don't want to, you know, gross, you've been with the pigs or whatever. What have you done? He just ran. He didn't care. And I'm sure when you're a farmer working in pigs, because I've been to a few pig barn fires, okay, and it's smelly and it's stinky. And in the back of the barn, there's, we call the pit of despair. And it's where all the waste gets pushed. And I've been to a few where some gentlemen have fallen into those pits. Yeah, it's disgusting. I stay as far away. It's like, oh, gross. And pigs on fire, they smell like bacon, just so you know. No, I'm kidding, they don't. They're running, all this bacon running around. Oh, man, let's get... Kidding. It's a horrible sound. You don't ever want to hear it. But that pit of despair is, I guarantee you, what this guy smelled like. Some guys, we didn't let him even back in the truck. They stank so bad. You're walking. I don't care how you get home. I know it's 20 miles away, but that's your problem, man. You smell. This boy would have reeked. And he ran to him and hugged him and showed unconditional love. You see, the father in the scripture today didn't care about money. He didn't care about anything else. He cared about the son. He cared about the person. Our world has placed value on things and self-gain. What can you do for me? Rather than the person. And sometimes we can let that sneak into our own personal lives because we've been taught it by media. And I'm not one of these anti-media guys, but I want you, when you're listening to media, pick out the nonsense, pick out the garbage, pick out them trying to mold you away from Scripture. Because you know what? If you stick to this, I'm not saying your life's going to be perfect, but man, you're going to get a lot more. You're going to understand a lot more. And by get, I don't mean gain material possessions. I mean understand a lot more. When we go back to the basics and understand what God is saying, it just makes life a lot better. Not easier, but better. Man, there are some people I know, they try to do the right things, and no matter what they do, it does not pan out well. And I don't know what it is. And they're reading scripture and loving on God and worshiping and reading and doing whatever else they can. And I'm telling you, they struggle. But they stick to it. Stick to it. God shows unconditional love. And so don't buy into that it's going to be easy. And so Luke 15 is clear that the person is more valuable than the things. And our Father in heaven cares more about us coming home to him than worrying about where we've been. It doesn't matter. Move forward. Move forward. How do we show unconditional love? Because you're like, okay, that's fine and dandy, but how do we show unconditional love? Well, there's a few ways. Well, there's a lot of ways, but one is just by being there. The father runs, hugs him, kisses him. He's there. I'm here. Runs to him. Be there. Notice I didn't say by being here. Be there. Where they are. Secondly, is withholding judgment. You don't need to judge them. As frustrating as it could be, withhold judgment. And thirdly, is having that compassion. And what did we say it meant? It meant by being concerned for the misfortune of others. So fathers and father figures respond with compassion, with unconditional love, and thirdly, with support and loyal T. That's what happens when you're typing. Loyalty. They are to be supportive and loyal. How many dance recitals have you been to? How many sports events have you been to? How many music recitals have you been to? Man, I remember watching hockey, and I'm like, these kids are never going to learn how to play this sport because they just cluster. They're like a bunch of bees or a flock of birds. They just stay in the same spot, all chasing after the same thing, and you're like, ugh. Our job is to teach them. When you go to dance, and they're dancing, and you're like, how are you going to make those kids do this stuff, ballet or whatever? And you sit through them. And then when you're watching other people's children, it makes it long. When you go to recitals or anything like that, you're like, I'm here. Yeah, I'm supportive of everybody or whatever, but my time, right? So it's like you get there and you're like, when's my kid on? And you got to sit through everybody else's kid to the end. And you're like, put a bullet in me. I'm done. Hitting wrong notes, singing wrong tunes, falling on the ground, all that, and you got to watch. And you're supportive. Yay. How many PAC meetings have you been to? I did so much stuff for PAC things for Michelle. She was on the, you know, she was one of the elite executives. I went in there, and I helped her and did all this stuff. And it was for everyone, but you're doing it for your kids, right? You see, you're supportive. You're loyal. And so in this scripture, the father throws a party because his son has returned. His son has returned. Now, I don't know if he gave him everything back or he gets away. Like, the point is, this father didn't beat this child up about it. He was there. He was for him. It says this in 22 to the end. It says, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Not go over all the things he did wrong. And after all this son put him through, the father was not even worried about the past. He throws a celebration. The father places his son back as his son. He was always his son, but the son didn't recognize it. When he was coming back, he's like, I'll just be a servant. But the father says, no, you're my son. You're back. God is running to you, I'm here to tell you this morning, to place you in the right position as adopted sons and daughters. You need to know that. You need to know that he's not looking to punish you. He's not looking to beat on you. He's not looking to make you feel that you were a bad parent. He just wants you to be with him. And he's going to come get you. But if God's running to him, to us, you got to be ready to receive him. You got to want him. Would you react the same way in this situation? I don't know. It'd be difficult. I'm pretty sure in the end I would. I think we have to take a long, hard look at ourselves and ask ourselves if we react the same way that this father in the parable did. Your father or father figure made you who you are. Maybe your father wasn't great. Maybe your parent wasn't great. But you can be. You have that choice. We all have that choice. Whether your father or father figure was a good one or a bad one, you are here. You are right now because of their influence, good or bad. And that's the importance. If in life, if we play the blame game as to why we are the way we are, our temperament, our attitudes, our life situations, we are going to find ourselves in big trouble. Maybe you didn't deserve to be treated, and I'm sure you didn't, the way you were, but I'm telling you now, you don't deserve it now to be treated that way. But it's not your parents who are treating you now as an adult. It's not your parents that are treating you badly. It's you. You are treating yourself badly. If you're living in the past and not forgiving, you are the one that is now treating yourself badly. You have to change yourself by taking the responsibility of who you are now and move forward. Your childhood may have not been your choice, but your adulthood is your choice. I guarantee it's your choice. You know, I don't normally talk about my father, but my father left when I was 10. There's schmazel, there's abuse, physical abuse, not to me, but to my mother. I remember I remember pulling my dad off my mother I don't even know what age I was, while he's wailing on her. There was horrible things that went on in that home. It was brutal. No, physical abuse, mental abuse, all that kind of stuff. And I have to say that obviously things are different now. Things are better now. But growing up in that, I recognized a lot of things. Not necessarily, I didn't look at it and go, I'm going to be just like that. That's not what I did. But I had a choice to decide whether or not I wanted to be like that later on down the road. And as things came up in my life, I had a choice when put in situations to go one way or the other. And I don't know where I would be today if my parents were still together. Obviously, God has a plan. But I'm telling you right now, what I went through, what I witnessed, what I saw, I don't blame them. They were doing the best they could with what they knew. And you say, well, you know, abuse is pretty bad. Yeah, it is bad, but they were doing the best they could. My father got kicked out of his house at 15. His father said, go get a job. Get out. Not, hey, I'll help you find a job. I'll get you started. Get out. And he went. And he lived on his own at 15 years old. Who's mentoring that 15-year-old? No one. The streets, life experiences, whatever. My mother, her father was a minister and abusive. That's life. That's the way it goes sometimes. But guess what? You don't have to stay there. And so they did the best they could, and it wasn't great, but they did the best they could. And I can pull out good things that they both have done and both influenced me in. And even in their bad choices, I learned things. I was influenced and become the person I am. It's the same for you. It doesn't matter what you went through. I promise you, you can choose because you have a better example. You have a better example. Right here. Let's not play this game anymore. It's right in here. I'm giving you the answers to what you are looking for. The value you want, the unconditional love you want, the father figure who cares and loves you. It's in here. But you have to do something. And if we don't start, we got to stop playing the game. We got to stop throwing blame. Well, my parents did this, so this is why, and yada, yada, on and on, and my life situation. Stop making excuses and stop blaming and start going to God. Doesn't mean you're going to get all the answers. Doesn't mean you're going to have everything laid out perfectly, but if you're searching for that, if you're looking for that, it's right here. Open it, read it, know it, learn it. And he will show you the love that he's showing you through Christ, and you can show that love to others. It doesn't matter if you're a biological father or not. You can be a man. It doesn't matter if you are a woman that hasn't had children. You can be a woman and show that love. Godly love. But we blame our past, and we have to stop. There are many of you that can blame your past, and you could do whatever you want right now. Go out there and say, I was raised poorly. What can I do? But that's just excuses. That doesn't deal with the issue. Maybe you've made some poor decisions as a parent. Man, I have to tell you, at a certain point, your kids are going to do whatever they want to do anyways. I got this thing called DNA, and you can thank your ancestors for all that magical concoction of goofiness, because there are things when I'm walking. We were out in Whistler the other day, and Michelle says, man, I was looking at you and Brandon as you were walking down the street, and whew, you can tell that's your kid, the way he walks, the way he slants. I'm sure he doesn't want to hear that. Maybe he does. I don't know. But I know I saw a picture of my father when he was younger, and he was doing this laugh, and it looked just like me, and I'm like, I don't like that. Because you want to be you. right? But I saw that picture and everybody's like, what is this? It's black and white. Is that you? Because you're so old. No, it's not. It's not. It's my father. It was creepy. The genetics and DNA. But I don't have to do the same things. I don't have to be. I can be me because I have a great example here. Do I have a great relationship with my father? Yes. Have I forgiven him? Yes. Many can't. Many can't. My two brothers cannot forgive him. And they got to let go, man. It's just poison. Was it good? Was it right? No. But we move forward and we show unconditional love. We show compassion. And we show support and loyalty. Because you know what? You're stuck with your family. You really are. I don't know if you saw my mother's funeral, but my brothers are not like me at all. But we look alike, and it's sometimes scary. Some mannerisms. Have you ever done something that your siblings do, and everybody goes, that's just like your other brother? And you're like, no, I am my own person. Some things they're there. My one brother's tattooed, hair down to here. He's tattooed all over the map. Different cat, I'll tell you. Motorcycle guy. Actually, he showed up at the church here one day, and people were like, can I help you? Scared, waiting to call 911. And he's like, yeah, I'm Pastor Mark's brother. And they're like, no, you're not. So if you see a biker type, just welcome them, okay? Most people aren't going to say they're my brother. He likes your response too, though, so he thinks it's funny when there's fear in your eyes. My other brother, we're different. We act different. We think different. But we're very similar in ways. You can't pick your family, but you can show God's love. And you know what? When you're out there in the real world, show compassion. Show unconditional love. Let's do it right. Let's not blame the past. Let's move on. Let's move forward. And now there's no excuses. There are no more excuses. Let's pray.